John chapter number 5 tonight. I'll have to say I have enjoyed every ounce of being back at Spring City Baptist Church and in Russell County, Virginia. And it is such an honor after a long time to be back this way. And sure enjoyed the time that God allowed us in life's journey to be a part of Spring City Baptist Church. It is such a joy to have had part in this church and our lives together. I'm glad God brought us this way. And it sure is good, as I mentioned last night, to have somewhat of a homecoming and family reunion here at Spring City Baptist Church. It's good to see some folks tonight. I hadn't got to speak to all the Ratliff family, but they've had a whole crew wander in here tonight, and it's good to see them. Good to see the Gibsons that we didn't see last night come down from West Virginia. George and Nola slipped in tonight, and it's always good to see them. And I've enjoyed these testimonies. Brother Eddie tonight, Brother David last night, what a blessing to hear these wonderful testimonies and what God's done through Spring City Baptist Church over the years. And such a blessing to be back. Good to see some of the Leonards here tonight. I feel like I'm in Russell County royalty, the presence of royalty tonight. I feel like I ought to give him a microphone to hear that voice of the Russell County Horse Show, County Fair. Man, it's good to see y'all tonight. Good to have you here. And just a blessing to be back at church tonight. I was reminiscing, and I've done this for weeks, knowing that I was coming to preach up here. But I have been associated, as far as knowing Spring City Baptist Church, over a third of the history of this church. And I came, of course, to be an assistant youth pastor in 1997. I had come in January of 97 to preach a candidate-type message, I guess, and be introduced to the church and talk to some of the teenage parents in January of 97. And Miss Cindy was great with child. I think she was expecting Bethany that was born in February, so that goes back a ways. But I actually met Preacher Odom back in the early 90s while I was still in Bible college. We drove to a meeting in Monroe, North Carolina, where Preacher Bobby Leonard was the pastor. And saw Brother Odom leading the song after the meeting. It was a traditional thing that they did. If you got saved on a Sunday, if you got saved on a Monday and how the song went, if you didn't know what day, if you got saved on a someday. And they would sing that song. He led that chorus, and I heard him lead that. I met Preacher Odom, and had no idea as a young college student that one day I would come to Spring City Baptist Church where he pastored. The first time I came was with Joel Logan, Brent's brother. He had come to visit his brother shortly after Brother Odom's passing, before Preacher Brent had just been pastoring very few months, just a short time. And I stayed in the basement of the parsonage in one of those, that little room as you go down the steps. And came here on a Sunday morning, big crowd of folks, and went down to one of the Sunday school rooms halfway down the hallway on the right. And Preacher Brent allowed me to teach Sunday school while I was in Bible college. And that was a good time before I came to be an assistant. And so I've known Spring City Baptist Church a long, long time. And probably been in the hospital with over half of you praying with you. This church had more surgeries and more problems than any church around. Amen. I did not remember that detail about wanting to pull the plugs on Brother Eddie's machinery. I do remember the visit, but I didn't remember that detail. But I don't doubt a thing he said. I could see myself doing that. That was great. That's great. All right, let's get to the preaching of the Bible tonight. I will be mindful of the time. I appreciate the 5 minutes Brother Bruce left me to Brother Knox said that about me last night. I thought I'd get Brother Bruce with that. But I will be, try to be mindful of the time, and I know folks working and it's getting late. So let's look at the Bible together. How many of you love the Bible, love the Word of God? Thankful that we have God's holy Word, that God's told us about Himself, told us how we could be saved and have eternal life, how we could spend eternity in heaven. Aren't you glad you have God's holy Word, the Bible? 1 John chapter number 5, verse number 7. I began last night to preach on a subject concerning the Trinity. That is a doctrine that we have preached, that we sing about, that has been a core doctrine of what we as Baptist people believe, that God is one God existing in three persons, the Father, the Word, which is Jesus, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. We believe in the plurality of God and the fact that He said in Genesis, let us, plural, make man in our image. So God is one God, but existing in three persons. You say, preacher, how's that possible? Well, we believe in H2O, don't we? We believe in water, that if it's in a different form, it will be steam, and it can be in a different form called ice. It's all the same. It's all H2O, just in existing in different forms. And thus, God can be existing in different forms. But the thing that breaks all the examples, such as water, is that God's all three at the same time. Amen. That's my God. You say, preacher, I can't wrap my brain around that doctrine of a holy Trinity. Well, you don't have to wrap your mind around it. You just have to believe it because God said it. Amen. And we teach that and we believe that. We sing about that. Bruce had mentioned his message. I had this songbook open before he even gave that illustration. Holy, holy, holy. Lord God Almighty, all thy works shall praise thy name in earth and sky and sea. Holy, 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 merciful and mighty, God in three persons, blessed Trinity. Amen. That's a key doctrine in the Bible. And with the Lord's help last night, I tried to preach on the ministry of the Holy Ghost. We refer to that in order, the third person of the Godhead, the Holy Ghost. Tonight, we're going to go back to the first. Brother Richard's already mentioned to me I didn't preach these in order, amen. But we're going back and preaching tonight on our Heavenly Father and the ministry of God the Father. Let's read our text, 1 John 5, verse 7. For there are three that bear record where? In heaven, the Father, that's a heavenly title. The Word, that's speaking of Jesus, that's a heavenly title of Jesus Christ. And the Holy Ghost is a heavenly title of the third person of the Godhead, the Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost. And the Bible says, and these three are what? One. Amen. The one God and one Lord and Savior is mentioned in this verse in three persons, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. Now let's pray before the message, and you listen real good, and we'll try to get through what God's put on our heart tonight. Let's pray. Father, we love you. Thank you for the Word of God. Lord, we pray that you would bless and help in the preaching of your word. Thank you for the message we've already heard, the great message about the sanctuary, about the church. And Lord, thank you for Spring City Baptist Church on this hillside. Lord, what a influence it's been in so many lives. And Lord, how you've touched hearts and helped people and ministered to people through this place. Lord, thank you for the time you allowed me to be part of this church family and to pastor and Lord, to be here among this great church family. Thank you, Lord. for all the precious memories and all the precious times, Lord, that you worked in my heart. Lord, thank you for saving some of my older children in this place and working in their heart. Oh God, thank you for the blessings that you've bestowed on each one of us that claim this place as their own. Lord, thank you for that. Oh God, I pray you'd bless tonight. Help the message. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Well, we mentioned that these are heavenly titles of the Trinity, of the Godhead, as Colossians would mention the Trinity as the Godhead. And we see here tonight, I want to preach on our Heavenly Father. I'm glad that I have a Heavenly Father. Many people think about God as being a supreme being and a distant place and very much removed from what we experience here on earth. But I'm glad that God, even though He is in heaven, is near to us on this earth. He is my Father. He is my heavenly spiritual Father. Now, I know people look at fatherhood and having a father in different ways. And maybe someone grew up without a earthly or physical father. Maybe someone had a strained relationship with their earthly father. But I'm telling you, I'm glad that I have a heavenly Father. Amen. That understands me as His child. I'm glad I've had a close relationship with my earthly dad. He is now 91 years of age, and I saw he and my mother this past Tuesday and spent a half a day with them. And we spent a great day together spending time. And I love my dad. How many of y'all remember Ray Suttle? Remember my dad coming to visit? And he's a special character. We pick on each other and love on each other and just have a good time together. And I'm glad for my earthly dad. But I'm especially grateful that I know the Lord as my Savior and I have a relationship with a heavenly Father. And I'm glad that even though we think of God as He is, the Creator of all things and the God of heaven, He is God upon this earth, amen, to a child of His like me. He's my heavenly Father. Just by way of introduction, there are several references, and I could preach a whole message just on my introduction, which I won't. I'm going to mention this very quickly tonight, but there are references to God the Father and titles that He is given as a Father in the Scripture. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 6, now listen, He is one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. He is labeled as the Father of all. I see here a commanding Father. He is in charge. Amen. A good dad is a leader. Amen. A good dad leads his family. A good father on this earth is a commanding father, as Abraham was in the Old Testament. He was trusted by God because He would command His house after him. God is the Father of all. He's a commander. Amen. That's Him. That's God our Father. He also, in James chapter 1, verse 17, the Bible says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights. He's called the Father of lights in James 1. And the Bible says, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. In other words, my God, my Father, Heavenly Father, is known for His consistency. He does not change. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is consistent in every way. Isn't that where we as parents often fail? Is in the area of just being consistent. with things that you ask of your children and examples that we set before them, just trying to be consistent. Well, God, amen, with Him is no variableness. He's the same all the time. He's the Father of lights. And that speaks of His consistency. Number three, He's the Father of spirits, Hebrews chapter 12. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us. How many of you had a father that corrected you? Amen. And probably in most cases you deserved it. Amen. You had it coming. Amen. And we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? He's the Father of spirits. In the text, it has to do with correction. He's a Father that when we get out of line, thank God, He's willing to correct us and set us on the right path and going the right way. Years ago, and as a boy, I was corrected as a child, and I didn't like it too much then. I don't know anybody that really joys in getting corrected. But I look back now and I say, thank you, Lord, I had a mom and dad that loved me enough to correct me and tell me when I was doing wrong and when I was going wrong. Aren't you glad you have a heavenly Father that's a Father that will correct us when we're going astray and doing things that we should not? Thank God for a God that's a Father to us in the area of correction. Number four, moving on. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3, He is a Father of mercies. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort. He's a Father of comfort. In that text, the Father of mercies. I preached on the Comforter, the Holy Ghost, last night, and I believe we all agree that we're thankful that God is a God of comfort. When we are hurting and when we are sad, when we are grieving, when we have trouble come our way, thank God He's a Father of comfort in our lives. We need that. Amen. Thank God He's a Father that can put His arms around us and help us in a time of need. Lamentations 3. His compassions fail not, thank God. He's a God and Father of mercies, a God of comfort. Ephesians chapter 1, this is the fifth thing, just by way of introduction. I keep saying by way of introduction so you don't think I'm through, amen. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17 says this, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, He's the Father of all. He's the Father of lights. He's the Father of spirits. He's the Father of mercies. He's the Father of glory. This is in your Bible. Amen. That's my God. Father of glory. And the Bible says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. That's speaking about Jesus. God the Father is the Father of glory in the fact of His Christ-centeredness. Verse 18, that the eyes of our understanding being enlightened, that ye may know the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. You know what the Father is doing? He wants you to know more about His Son. He's the Father of glory. And He is promoting the God who in the fullness of the Godhead, the Godhead bodily is Jesus Christ. So here Jesus is emphasized even from the perspective of the Father of glory. Now, three quick things tonight. I'm to the main part of my message, all right? So just breathe real easy like, amen, we're going to be through before long. Number one tonight, I want you to look at this matter of our Heavenly Father from a few different perspectives that we find in the Bible. First of all, tonight, I want to mention this about God the Father. I see a divine affinity. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying there is a divine relationship that I have with heaven, with God, my heavenly Father. There's a relationship there. You say, what do you mean, preacher? Well, I do know that in the Bible, Jesus is preaching, and he is preaching to a bunch of religious folks and people of that day. And he said, ye are of your father, the devil. Evidently, some of those people didn't belong to God. They belonged to the devil. And the devil, in a spiritual sense, was their father. But the Bible says this in John chapter 1, verse 12, and I love this verse in the Bible. But as many as received him, speaking of Jesus, to them gave he power to become the what? The sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Do you know what happened as an 11-year-old boy when I got saved and when I gave my heart to Jesus and asked him to be my Savior? I was taken from the family of the devil and placed into the family of Almighty God. I became God's child, and he became my heavenly Father. When I was born again, that's the term the Bible used, when I got saved, when I asked Jesus into my heart. You know, the Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be what? Saved. If you do your part in calling upon the name of the Lord as a repentant sinner and asking Jesus to save you, you know what he's going to do? Exactly what he promised. He said he'd save you if you never have trusted Christ as your Savior. The Bible says, but as many as received him. If I was going to give Brother Sturts, by the way, it has been an honor to see Brother Sturts again at Spring City Baptist Church. It's been an honor to see you, brother. Amen. If I was going to give Brother Sturts a gift, this is not much of a gift, it's just what was here on the front pew. But if I was going to give Brother Sturts a gift of a box of tissues, what would Brother Sturts have to do? Now, let's imagine I've bought and paid for this gift, which I haven't. We're just imagining tonight if I had bought and paid for this gift, and I wanted Brother Sturts to have the gift that I had bought and purchased for him, what would he have to do to receive my gift? What would you have to do? You have to receive it. You have to take it. Jesus died for the sins of the whole world. Jesus said he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God wants you to be saved more than you want to be saved. He died for you. And he offers salvation as a free gift. Miss Louise, I don't believe she's here tonight, Miss Louise Hubbard, which was referenced by Brother Eddie. Miss Louise had been praying for a good while for her brother, Wayne Hubbard. And you that remember Wayne, he was a pretty gruff fella. He was a prison guard. He was a pretty hard man, I guess, to approach and just strike up a conversation. He was just, I guess by nature of his business of being a prison guard, he was pretty rough. And Louise was concerned about his soul. He was on up in years and never trusted Christ, never been saved. And Wayne, I got to visit with him a few different times. The first few visits, it was like you could feel, I don't want you here, preacher. I don't want to talk to you. And he ended up in the hospital a few different times. And I remember going to the hospital one time to visit with him. And he had some very arm's length questions about the Bible and even the history of the Bible and just trying to throw some questions at me, which I graciously tried to answer. And I remember one day, one of the latter times he was in the hospital, not right before he died, but one of those previous times he was in the hospital. And I went to Wayne's room. And I talked to Wayne, and it seemed a little different that day, but I saw a candy bar on the table beside his bed, and I believe it was a Hershey's or something like that, and Louise had given him that candy bar. And I used that candy bar, as we did often in children's church, with those attention or gifts and rewards, and I said, Wayne, I said, who got you this candy bar? And he told me Louise. And I said, Wayne, I said, that candy bar was given from somebody who loves you and cares for you. Speaking of Louise. And I said, Wayne, that candy bar cost the giver everything. But it's free to you because you're the getter. You're the one receiving it. And it's free. Didn't cost you anything. I said, Wayne, that's just like Jesus Christ. It's given from somebody who loves you and cares for you. It costs the giver, Jesus, everything. He paid his price upon the cross of Calvary and shed his blood so you could have eternal life, so you could be saved. But it's free, Wayne. It's free to the getter if you'll just receive it. Wayne was sitting up in his bed, and I never will forget it. He was sitting up on the edge of that hospital bed, and his hands gripped that mattress. And he bowed his head, and he began his arms to shake. And I didn't have to say anything else. He began to cry out, oh God, would you save me, a sinner? And Wayne Hubbard got saved that day in the hospital and gave his heart to Jesus. I got to give the glad tidings at Wayne's funeral down here, what used to be Combs Funeral. Is it still Combs Funeral Home down here? And I got to stand in that funeral home and give the testimony of what happened that day in the hospital. Matter of fact, that same day I went to the gift shop where Louise worked and said, Louise, your brother just got saved. But I preached from the book of Acts. You remember when the prison was shaken and Paul and Silas was singing at midnight in the prison, and that jailer was ready to commit suicide and kill himself because all the jailers had been freed. And that jailer in Acts got saved. I preached at Wayne Hubbard's funeral, the jailer who got to Jesus. Amen. That's what God can do. I'm glad that Jesus saved my soul. I'm glad that I have a heavenly Father. And that is a divine relationship, a divine affinity with God. I have a relationship with the God of heaven. He's my Father, and I'm His child. Thank God for that. Amen? Are you glad you have a heavenly Father? You say, I've never been saved. Well, guess what? I don't care whether the youngest person in this building or one of the oldest people in this building. If you've never been saved, if you're willing to come as a sinner to God and ask God to save you, He can save your soul tonight. And then you can say, God's my Father. Amen. Thank God for that divine affinity. Now, moving on. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter number 9, let's turn there. There's so much more I wanted to say right there, but God knows what I need to say. Book of Romans talks about Abba, Father. The term Abba is an Aramaic word for Father that signifies intimate, trusting relationship with God, often translated as Papa or Daddy. to reflect affectionate childlike trust, and combines this close personal access with reverence, showing that God is both loving and almighty. The phrase Abba Father is used by believers to express confidence in God's care. I'm glad I can cry, as the book of Romans says, Abba Father. Because He is a loving Father and God Almighty. Look at Hebrews chapter 9. Let's move on. I'm needing to get through tonight. Let's move on. Hebrews chapter number 9. Are you there? Hebrews chapter 9. Let's look at verse number 1. Hebrews 9, verse 1. Then verily the first covenant had also ordinances of divine service and a worldly sanctuary. For there was a tabernacle made, the first wherein was the candlestick and the table and the showbread, which is called the sanctuary. And after the second veil, the tabernacle, which is called the holiest of all, which had the golden censer, the ark of the covenant, overlaid round about with gold, wherein was the golden pot that had manna and Aaron's rod that budded, tables of the covenant, and over it the cherubims of glory shadowing the mercy seat, of which we can not now speak particularly. And when these things were thus ordained, the priests went in always in the first tabernacle, accomplishing the services of God. But in the second went the high priest alone once every year, not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the heirs of the people. The Holy Ghost, this signifying that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest, while as the first tabernacle was yet standing. Now, without going into a lot of detail, that's speaking about that rustic Old Testament tabernacle that was under Moses and the Aaron priesthood and all that went on within that tabernacle in the Old Testament. But Jesus is yet to come. Jesus from that Old Testament tabernacle will come on the scene. And the Bible says in verse 24 of chapter 9, the Bible says, for Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Jesus took the blood to a heavenly tabernacle, which all this on earth was just a picture of the true tabernacle in heaven. Now, for sake of time, look at Hebrews chapter number 10, verse number 17. And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Now, where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which He hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, His flesh. And having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. The second thing I want to show you about our Heavenly Father, I have a direct access to God. A direct access to God. Into the third heaven, into God's throne room. As a child of God, I can bow before God and have direct access to the Creator of this universe and the God of heaven. We spent 5 years in the country of Denmark, and some of you graciously came and visited. Did we visit some of the castles while we were there? I'm trying to put it all together. One of those castles down in the city of Copenhagen, you go up to the second or third floor of that castle. In the basement was all the old armory and swords and crowns. And I'm talking about crowns loaded with jewels, and they were under tight security. Amen. Afraid one of these Americans would run off with them, I guess. But it was amazing to walk in there and see a throne where a literal king of this earth sat. That was kind of A moment of awe as you walked into the throne room of a former king to see where a king sat on a throne. And we, because of the relationship we have with God as our Father, get to enter the throne room of God Almighty because we're His child. Esther in the Bible, even as the wife, the queen of Ahasuerus in the book of Esther, had to wait for him to lower his scepter that she might approach his throne even as the queen. But God has given me access as a child of God to go right in with boldness into the very throne room of God Almighty. Because He is my Father, I have a direct access to His throne room. You're talking about a privilege. Amen. Isn't it wonderful to have a relationship with those you love? There may be some people have to have access to see me if I'm busy. Not because I'm important, but maybe because I'm busy doing something. And I hope my children don't take advantage of this. But there's not too much that would interrupt or not be interrupted if they needed to see me. Why? Because they're my children. And they have access to Daddy. Amen. Amen. I've said this before, and I hope they don't take advantage of this. I'd rather spend money on my family than anything I know.
Amen. Yes, sir.
Why? Because they're my family. They're my children. My pride and joy. From what I understand, I'm getting a little taste of this now. Grandkids are even worse. I'm a granddaddy times two. Christina will be here tomorrow night with her little family, and you'll see my grandbabies. Can you believe Scott Settle, your little kid pastor from years ago, that little skinny preacher that had one stripe in his pajamas, is now a granddaddy? Man. And man, these birthdays come along. We had a first birthday for Jackson, the youngest grandbaby, shelling out that money. And smiling, Eddie talking about that smile, I'm smiling all the way. It's because I love them. Isn't it wonderful to have a Heavenly Father that we have access to, that we can go to? Amen. You try to call the President of the United States, you probably not get through. I started naming in some church all these famous people I knew. I was naming, all kinds of famous people, and people were looking kind of funny. Wow, Scott, you know all them? I said, the problem is not one of them knows me. Amen. But it's not that way with the Lord, hallelujah. God knows who you are because you're His child. We have access to God. Number three, and I'm through. Let's look at this. Turn to John chapter 3. John chapter 3, I got to shut this down. A lot of preachers have the same problem. They get that big bird in the air and fly in that plane, and they just never find a runway, amen, to land the plane. We're going to try to land the plane. We're not going to do a nosedive over there. Amen. John chapter 3, verse number 35. The Bible says this. The Father loveth the Son. That's speaking of Jesus. The Father loveth the Son and hath given all things into His hand. Turn to chapter 5 of John, verse number 20. You'll find a very similar statement. John chapter 5, verse 20. The Bible says, For the Father loveth the Son and showeth him all things that himself doeth, and he will show him greater works than these, that ye may marvel. The first thing I mentioned to you about our Heavenly Father is a divine affinity or relationship with the Lord. The second thing was a direct access, and access to the very throne of God. Number three, a daddy's affection. The Father loveth the Son. I'm glad on this earth I've got to experience a daddy's love. And I believe with all my heart my earthly dad loves me with all of his heart. And I'm grateful for that. But I know that I know that I know that I have a Heavenly Father that loves me. He loves me like I was his only child. That's the love of the Father. Turn to John 16 and I'm finished. John chapter 16. I believe this is exactly what God gave me for this night to preach. John chapter 16, verse number 23. The Bible says, "And in that day ye shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you." Do you see the love of the Father? "Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask, and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. These things have I spoken unto you in Proverbs, but the time cometh when I shall no more speak unto you in Proverbs, but I shall show you plainly of the Father. At that day ye shall ask in my name, and I say not unto you that I will pray the Father for you." Now watch verse 27. "For the Father himself loveth you, because ye have loved me and have believed that I came out from God." You love the Lord Jesus Christ?
Yes, sir.
God the Father is going to love you back.
Amen.
A daddy's affection for his child. That's my Heavenly Father. Amen. I tell you what, if you're here tonight, and it's possible that somebody in this number would be here and has never yet been saved, if you don't know the Lord as your Savior, you can be saved. You can have a relationship with Jesus Christ and have a Heavenly Father that loves you and wants you to come to His Son. "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son." He loves you and wants you to know Him. Amen. Let's bow our heads for prayer.